This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Carrboro was once primarily a mill town, but since the last mill closed in the early 70s, Carrboro has become an artsy place, and Carrboro poet laureate Jay Bryan wants the arts to be a way to remember and to reflect on the town's history. He uses poetry as a tool to celebrate those who have made the past and the present of Carrboro a possibility. Jay has been Carrboro's poet laureate since 2010. That term ends this summer, and he is with us today to talk about poetry and how it can be used to build community. Jay, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
What is the role of poetry? I mean, it's an interesting art form, isn't it? We always talk. We're always using words, and yet poetry is something considered now academic, something high and artsy.
I think there are many branches of how people express themselves through poetry. So academics certainly are one area. I think there's also just a grassroots evolution of it as an art form for people, both as artists and just a personal expression that's very positive. And it's, I think, happened particularly in the last, say, 30-odd years. There's been a real explosion of it as a way of expressing oneself.
How so?
I think it's just been a number of publications. As well, there's April is Poetry Month. There's the Poet Laureate for the United States is very active. North Carolina has its own Poet Laureate. There are many readings that go on. If you just log into Flyleaf Bookstore in Chapel Hill, you'll see that every other Thursday there's open mic and poetry readings. And that's true for a number of bookstores and locations across the state. So
certainly hip-hop culture has done a lot to spotlight the importance of words and the ways words can be used creatively and expressively.
Right, and that's part of the scope of poetry, which is written word, which is then read, as I may do today. Also spoken word poetry, which is where people perform and they memorize poems, and then part of what you get is how they perform them on stage and so on. So, yes, that's helped.
Why is it important for a town like Carrboro to have a poet laureate? Or is it?
Well, I felt that it was. I think Carrboro was the first town in the state to have one. I think I suggested it to the town board because I felt that there should be a poet who can articulate things for the town at different events, as well as promote poetry in the town. I think it a bard of some kind, and that's what I'd contemplated. There's never been any definition for the role itself. It's kind of made up by the persons who have done it, and there have been five of us so far. So,
would you read a poem for us now?
Certainly. What would you like me to read?
Ode to Town Tree.
This is about the elm that is in front of Town Hall in Carrboro, Ode to Town Tree. Our American Liberty elm rises from elephant haunches, like Michelangelo's David, majestically surveying our town as it grows, matching each newcomer with a fresh leaf. Once a seedling planted as punishment by an unruly schoolboy, it spreads muscular limbs, adagio, above our heads, within reach, in lightning's terror, snow's weight, rain's flood, and spring's bounty of fruit and flowers, ending in autumn's slow shedding. Without rock and sling, it remains at our side, a resolute friend. But do we really know this hermaphroditic creature? Sipping moisture centimeters below grass, wispy roots stretch out from the trunk 1.5 times its height. Its cross-grained wood tougher than steel and likely to spark when cut. Its cells connecting around wounds to its skin to continue to grow for our benefit. Having communally revered nature, even though we have not loved it as ourselves, Carrboro gave this tree sanctuary, freedom to grow, the love of public works employees, helping heal ice storms snap, soaking droughts slow burn. bare feet of children in the 1930s, hair bedecked in ribbons, circling a maypole at the spot of its future planting. Having shared our suffering and drawing us into its circle as we walk by, its arms reach out in compassion with shade, resplendent light, breeze among its leaves, cool to the touch, braided bark, arching in all directions to embrace us. So, in the early morning or late night, lay aside our heartache, walk to it with open palms, and find ourselves in forgiving, wordless peace. As for the little boy, he did not live to enjoy our elm emerge fully from earth. Thus, may we delay our own gratification, learn to plant what we will not witness to fruition. Kind acts to one another, ribbed with empathy, seedlings of faith and resolve for the coming generations.
Jay Bryan, Poet Laureate of the town of Carrboro, with his Ode to Town Trees. So what do we know about that hermaphroditic creature? Tell us more about that tree and the boy who planted it.
The story about the boy who planted it is from a number of sources, including Francis Shetley, a longtime resident of Carrboro. We don't have a name. I think the tree is close to 100 years old, so it was fitting to read about it, given that Carrboro turned 100 in 2011. It's been saved. It's been knocked about. Limbs have frozen off. Drought has hurt it, but the town has made it a conscious effort to really preserve it. And Carrboro is a tree city, USA, so it's fitting that it would do that for this tree in front of the old, it was an old school and it's now the town hall.
So it's one of these things, I mean, everybody knows about the tree. It's a landmark. People make reference to it. You meet under it. You drive a block away from it. But when you sort of glorify it and memorialize it in words like this, it gives people another way to hang on to and express the importance of this tree, I guess.
I think that also we, as a culture, we take our trees for granted. And part of it is how amazing they are in terms of how they function and live in our world, particularly with problems of car pollution and so on. So I just tried to dig a little deeper and talk about it as a living organism to make that come a little more alive as well.
So had you been writing poetry about the landscape of Carrboro before this idea of the Poet Laureate came to you, or were you inspired by the position to write even more? Tell us about the evolution of the position and you as a writer.
I've been writing poetry off and on since college, and sort of after some things happened to me personally, I started to write more in the, say, in the 90s. As far as the town itself, I've written some, but not particularly specific. When I became Poet Laureate, I felt for me, in my definition of the role, that part of it was to create poems that articulated values of the town in a way, in a poetic form, that would be educational, inspiring, and just be a joy to read for people. So there are any number of things I could have written about, and these are the things that I've kind of aimed at and chose to focus on.
Well, the history of Carrboro is interesting to you, and you write about that. Tell us a little bit about that and about the transition from a mill town to what it is today.
Well, Carrboro started as the cross-tie capital of the world.
Cross tie
are the ties, I believe, that are used by the railroad.
Yeah.
And it was due to the lumber that was available, and it became then over time a place that local farmers came because of the Depression and other reasons to work at the cotton mill. And the cotton mill was a very organized community. Some people would say that it had issues around that, but people lived in housing that was provided by the town, by the mill, and organized events, picnics, baseball games, their own newspaper, their own kind of legislature. That the mill had its ups and downs, and over time, part of it was changed to a munition factory in during the war and actually produced weapons. And then in the it stopped, as you said. I'm not sure the exact date, but when I moved to Carrboro in 1975, the mill was not working. Due to the Tax Act of 1976, a gentleman who was very involved with the Nature Conservancy bought the mill and was persuaded by, among others, Francis Shetley and the mayor at that time, to look into trying to save it through that Tax Act. And he, I think, luckily for all of us, decided to do that because it's kind of the anchor for the visual history of the town.
And that's the Carmills Mall right now,
yes,
right?
Sir.
And that was and was it Julian Carr's mill?
Julian Carr did build or establish or bought the mill, and his condition about that why Carrboro got its name was that he agreed to provide, I think this is anecdotal, but electricity and other services of a town if the town agreed to name itself after him. So Carrboro actually had three different names over time, Venable, West End, and Carrboro. And my family and I were privileged to live in a home right behind Fitch Lumber Company, in which it was the history was that the same woman had three different children in three different towns in that house.
And now, of course, it's the Paris of the Piedmont.
Of course.
Would you read another poem for us?
Certainly. This is a poem dedicated to Rob Hogan and Ann Leonard. Rob was a several-generation farmer whose family owned, through land-grant, a farm that was located outside of Carrboro. He was a hay farmer and beloved, both of them, in the community as people of the earth and generous. And so it's dedicated to him. It's called Handful of Days. As our parents' seeds, looking for a place to settle, many of us rode karmic winds to accepting Carrboro Town. Parting fields laced with pine and holly, we drive in a stream past the hay farmer on his grant of land. His day of work begun when he rises before the sun to take the measure of the sky and sift dirt, his friend, through blistered fingers. His dreams are our birthright, too. What's the right time and for what reason to plow new soil or to supply the seed for another's crop, to cultivate a life's continuum of loving deeds stacked in a barn for dark days' forage? His hay in squares and round bales finds its way to stamping horses and mewing cows. His wheat ground to rise as homemade bread, stalks emerging from the scroll of his plow in marching green array as nature finds a way. The farmer has children and a wife who call to him when the sun plumes below the tree line and bluebirds still their wings and song. Hey, farmer, astride your tractor, won't you come home? You've tilled the soil and drilled the seed. Now it's time. Come home and be with me. For every day is the season to accept that we may not see the harvest of our faith. But smelling the earth and coming spring, we can plant in the heart's stonier ground words of forgiveness offered and received. And not wait for the moment when life, as we know it, snaps closed, and all that might have been, or done, or said, lies untended on the barren plain of our wintered intent.
Jay Bryan, the outgoing poet laureate of Carrboro, his poem Handful of Days, one of many that he has written, in his tenure and before as poet laureate of Carrboro. You are also an attorney, a judge, you've been an alderman, so you've learned to use words in many, many different ways in different contexts, and I'm sure you've thought about the ways in which we construct our whole lives and our images, and the idea that we're part of a town with a culture has a lot to do with the words we use to describe that town and the people in it, doesn't it?
It does, and I think it's important as best we can as members of a community to understand its history and try to learn about that from those who have lived there and grown up there and made it what it was. And we're always grateful for the people who precede us, who have, and we have to really think about them and be conscious of the gifts that have gotten us to this point, whether it's the people who fight in our wars, the people who built the buildings in our community, and just held down the core of the community values. So the words one chooses and one what describes are important. These are serious words. There are other ways to do that, of course, and some of that is maybe a little more light and joyful. But it's however we do it, I certainly appreciate all the expressions.
You are leaving the job soon, and is there a successor?
The town's arts committee is advertising for a successor. I don't know the status of it at this point, but I'm sure there will be somebody who will step forward and really enjoy the privilege of serving the town as I have.
Well, thank you, Jay. Pleasure talking with you.
You're welcome.
Jay Bryan, the Poet Laureate of Carrboro. Carrboro is, in fact, looking for a new Poet Laureate, and if you're interested to become to take that position, you can contact Ra Trost at Carrboro Recreation and Parks. Ra is spelled R-A-H-T-R-O-S-T, and that's Carrboro Rec and Parks, and you may be the new Poet Laureate of Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our program. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.